Father, we want to thank you for your faithfulness today. We want to thank you for the love of Jesus Christ that sought us, that bought us with your precious blood, Lord. Father, even as we sing this morning, that your mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Father, we want to draw upon the mercies of God today, that they are new this morning. Father, no matter where we find ourselves, whatever the circumstances in our lives, Lord, we can look to you. You're the author, you're the finisher of our faith. Oh, yes. So, Lord, we look to heaven today. We ask, Lord, that you feed us with the manna from on high. Lord, the bread of life that gives us the energy we need to conquer, to overcome, to walk in your steps, Lord. We need your energy. We need your life. So, Father, we commit this day, we commit this meeting into your hands. And we pray that your will would be accomplished today in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Can we say amen this morning? Can we praise God this morning?
Yes.
Thank you, Brother Jim. Good morning, everyone. I trust everyone has had a good night's rest. And if you didn't get a very good night's rest, we can trust that God will give you strength today. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to be here. You know, as we begin the second day of our conference, I believe God wants to speak to us. And as I stand here, I'm sort of up here standing in fear and trembling, because when you stand up, the Bible says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. So praise the Lord. I have a certain subject I'd like to share with you this morning. If you were in Dubuque, you probably heard it. If you weren't in Dubuque, it will be new to you. But I believe that whether you have heard it or you have not heard it, it's good for all of us to hear it again. Hallelujah. Can we say amen to that?
Amen.
Okay, come on. We can smile this morning, can't we? Amen? All right, I see a few smiles. Well, we trust that the Lord, as the Lord speaks, that, you know, that we all will be smiling, you know. You know, whatever God speaks, it's good for us, right?
Amen.
Can we say amen to that, Brother Chijoki?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I haven't heard too much of a amen chorus here this morning. Can we say amen together?
Amen.
All right. Praise the Lord. I was sharing before, you know, we've been having some tremendous meetings in Dubuque in our nursing home. And we had quite a very interesting one, where the Spirit of God just came in. And I mean, when you go to the nursing home and you're ministering to people, your ministry, you're going into where there's a lot of death, hopelessness. And this particular morning, as we were, now we have been going to this particular nursing home for 10 years. And on this particular day when we gathered together, and the Spirit of God was there, and it really, I don't want to say energy, the Spirit of life was there. And it was bringing life to them. And by the time we were done, we ended up having, we had, how many did we have? Maybe 14 from our fellowship there, ministering in song and worship, and we had about 14 of them that were there. By the time we were done, we had all of these people in wheelchairs and everything out shouting us, saying amen, over the ones that were in our church. Hallelujah. That's the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Huh? Huh? The same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. How many of us need a quickening by God in our mortal bodies? I need it. Hallelujah. I want it. And I believe that if we believe it, if we want it, we're going to receive it today.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
They were encouraging us. We could do better.
Yeah, they encouraged us. Oh, they had a wonderful time, and we had a wonderful time. You know, the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord... Why am I hearing an echo? Is this here, Brother Gordon? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Hallelujah. And God, the way God has liberty is when we open our hearts up to God. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So praise the Lord. I want to share, and basing the word I'm going to share this morning on, is something the Lord brought to me in the night season. I look back today. In fact, I'm going to read it to you. A lot of times I can rehearse it by heart, but I want to get every word that I wrote down that morning of a dream the Lord gave me. It was dated, I think November 11th I received it. And I titled the dream, "The Two Most Important Principles Dream." All right? The Two Most Important Principles Dream. So let me read it to you, and I'm going to stop sometimes. I might rehearse it a couple lines, because I do it for myself. You know, I want to get everything in that the Lord speaks. But in this particular dream, I was involved with a group of brethren, and we were on this basketball team. We were hosting another basketball team from overseas, and the purpose of it was to teach certain principles. Therefore, the games we played against one another were designed for us to learn these principles. During the course of playing the games, we were being instructed on these two basic principles in our playing, and if we got them right, everything else would become successful in our lives. Wow. Hallelujah. Can I read that one sentence again? Amen. During the course of playing the games, we were being instructed on these two basic principles in our playing, and if we got them right, everything else would become successful in our lives. How many of us want to be successful in the Spirit of God? Okay, praise the Lord. I think we're all on that basketball team together. Amen? All right, during one part of this dream, I remember talking with brethren and was reminding everyone of what one brother that was there that had taught us, that there should be no compromise. Important part, huh? Huh? As we were in the course of all that, this one brother got up and spoke about not compromise, and I said, we must remember not to compromise. Hallelujah. So we came down to the last day of our time together, and we were to play our final game with the opposing international team. One of the men happened to be of Russian descent, and he was trying hard to understand the two basic principles. Because we were the team that was teaching the principles, we, of course, were in the winning position. In fact, one of the members on our team received the ball. And at that point, when I saw him receive the ball, I mean, this man was tall. He was taller than the hoop. You know what I mean? And it was almost like when he went to dribble, you know, do the dribble, I mean, it was bounce. Whoa, you know. I mean, I would not want to try to defend that man against, you know, making a play at the hoops. Hallelujah. So it says, one of the men received the ball. He was standing up high over the basketball hoop in a much higher elevated position. He bounced the ball twice, and of course no one could get the ball from him because of his position. Suddenly, during the last play of the game, this Russian man spoke, exclaiming to everyone. It was like a revelation came to him. He says, I know what the two principles that we need. And I looked at him, smiling, and said that what he was thinking was right. For the two basic principles that must be established first are these. One, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And number two, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Hallelujah. Huh? Let us turn to Matthew 22. When we go into the Word of God, we see that Jesus spoke this. And he really spoke that to people that were trying to tempt him all the time. Wasn't it, Brother Mark? Pharisees, scribes, I think it's recorded in here. It was a scribe at one point. You know, if they couldn't get Jesus on one part, they tried to get him on another part. But of course, according to, as we know, the Word of God, who can outsmart God? Huh? Can anybody? I don't think so. So in Matthew 22, verse 34, we read, "But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, 'Master, what is the great commandment in the law?' Jesus said unto him, 'Thou shalt what? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.'" This scripture is recorded not only in Matthew, it's in Luke, it is also in Mark with the little variations. But it talks about these, the two greatest commandments. Now when you go down to verse 40, Matthew adds this to it. It says, "And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." So Jesus is saying everything, when you get down to it, everything in the Old Testament, the law, the prophetic word, still lies, that you are to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy, what? Mind. There's another one that says, "and all thy strength." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let's look at first at this first great commandment, is that we're to what? Love God, right? Now, how do we first love God, except for first, He loved us, right? Huh? The Bible tells us in the book of Romans, it says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Huh? And in John it says, God so loved the world. Huh? We have to define what the world is there. Does God love the sin in the world? Does God love the darkness? No. What He loves is the people. Huh? Yes, amen. Because the people God made man, when God made man, it says, "Let us make man" what? "In our image and after our likeness." God made man, made you and I to be a little lower than the angels, but yet He wants to crown us with glory. Hallelujah. And so this love, now I look at it when I hear something, I begin to look at it from my own vantage point, where, how it's a reality to me. First, how God, while I was yet very unlovable, very sinful, very far from God and the things of God, bound up in sin and in darkness, that God in His love, regardless of that, came and gave me an opportunity to repent. Amen. Hallelujah. That I became born again. And when I became born again, I came into a reality of how much God loves me. Huh? Me, in spite of all that, that God would come and say, "Believe on me. Confess your sins. I will wash you. I will make you whiter than snow." I can't even comprehend 34 years of walking with the Lord. I can't still yet comprehend that love that He loved me with, that while I was yet so unlovable, that He came to me and He said, "George, I want to wash all your sins. I want to throw them as far as the east is from the west." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. "I want you to be my son." Me, George Harry, with all of the darkness within me. And then God comes and he washes me. And He begins to put something in me that I needed to love Him back. Yeah. Huh? Yeah. I needed to love God back. And it's very interesting when you see what Jesus said. You know, when Jesus' ministry began, John started. He was the forerunner for Jesus' ministry. And He says, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." Repentance means change. I wouldn't be here today unless there was a change that happened in my life, in my wife's life, on June 27th, 1980. Hallelujah. A change that turned us from sinners, not knowing anything of God, that God came to us. And not only coming to us and forgiving, but somehow just that reality began to put us on a pathway. Who is this God that would come and forgive my sins? Who is this God that would pick me up and take things out of my life that I could never get rid of myself? Cursing and desiring to walk in darkness, to drink stuff that was death and detrimental to my body. Hallelujah. But something happened, brethren. Not only His love touched me, but now something was inside of me that I wanted to know God more. I wanted to know who was this God. And you know, and I found something else out. That not only did He touch us, but we began to see that there were other people that God touched. People that had a personal relationship with God. Right, Brother Gordon? A relationship by the blood of Jesus Christ. I found out that blood that touched and washed us, washed other believers, and we became brothers and sisters joined by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I look out right now to everyone here. What have we been touched by? Huh? The blood of Jesus Christ, right? What makes an affiliation with you and I but the blood of Jesus Christ that makes us part of the church? Amen. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Let me see if I can get a marker here. We got green. We don't have black, do we? Where's that at? Oh, on the bench. Okay, praise the Lord. I'm going to draw a picture we're all pretty familiar with. It's a picture of the tabernacle. This picture here is a picture of Moses' tabernacle in the natural, but it's also a picture of the church. Huh? It's a picture of the church. Because Jesus said you must be born again in order for you to see the kingdom of God. So when I was not born again, when I was in the world, outside of here is the world, or it's a type, Egypt is a type of the world, or darkness. I was out in darkness. And when I became born again, I stepped into this tabernacle, which is also the picture of the church. Hallelujah. I share this many times, but I think it's a very simple reality. But who is the true church? Who is the true church, Patty? Huh? Many people say they belong to the true church. Oh, well, one time, you know, I don't know, God speaks to me something very simple, but yet I think it's so profound. But the true church is everyone that has received Jesus Christ as their Savior. Hallelujah. Each person that has received the blood of Jesus Christ steps into this place, and they are part of the true church of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Can you say amen? Amen? We all start at the same starting gate, so to speak, right? Come on, every person, huh, that has received the blood of Jesus Christ, we all start at salvation.
Amen.
Huh? Hallelujah. You know, I know some brethren that, true brethren, they're still in the Catholic Church. Oh, everybody's quiet. Do we have a little bottle of water here? Oh, yes. God has His people everywhere, but God does not design His people to stay in a place of denominationalism. Huh? Do you know denominationalism has no place here?
Right.
Hallelujah. Because God did not... Oh, I think... okay, I'll take that. Thank you, Patty. Oh, it's cold too. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Some people are born again and they never step much further than the place of salvation. There's many reasons why that is. And that's why we have to pray for those that are in certain places, because there is a certain place that we can stop the flow of God. Hallelujah. Let me just give you a little example. We have this man that we worked with at the post office. I won't say his name, but he was in the Catholic Church, but he loved God. And we could tell by the way that we interacted with him that he had a born-again experience. Right, Brother Wade? One day he calls us up. And he says, I would like to be water baptized. Now, Roman Catholicism doesn't teach in water baptism by immersion. But this man wanted to. He recognized. We sat and talked with him concerning to be water baptized. And, you know, we said, you know, if this is what you desire, we will be happy to accommodate you. We went down to the Mississippi River, baptized him, and the man came out rejoicing and praising God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now, this brother, I don't know how long ago it was, 10, 12 years ago, he finds himself still in the same denomination, but every time I can go see with him, I can fellowship with him. Because he's a brother in the Lord. He's been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You know, the funny thing about the brother, I shouldn't say funny, I mean the man was genuine. I would give him tapes and tapes of all the messages. You know, he would listen. I mean, he's in this church system, and he's listening to all the end time messages and being blessed. And being blessed. Oh, he goes, I listened to the phone tape, I listened to this other. So, you know what? I pray for him. I pray for him. Because I know that someday, he will have to step out. Hallelujah. Can we say amen to that? Hallelujah. So when we look at this picture of the tabernacle, and as part of being the true church, see, everyone that steps in there, they're my brother and my sister. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. I have a responsibility for every blood-washed one. Yes. Amen? Amen? But as we see the picture, this picture is not only a picture of the church, it's also a picture of you and I. It's a picture of Jesus Christ, and it's you as the temple of the living God. And the interesting thing why God has given us this blueprint is that there is a calling and election for us not only to enter into the tabernacle, but to go all the way with God. Amen?
Amen.
Just one amen?
Amen.
Huh?
Hallelujah.
We're to go all the way with God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Do you think that Satan wants us to go all the way?
No.
Oh, no. Oh, no. He will do everything he can to stop that growth and maturity. Hallelujah. Or we can say the growth maturity come into a place of the fullness and stature of Christ, which is a maturity in sonship. Huh? As it says in John chapter 1, he says, and to those that believed on his name, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Well, at that point, it says, technon, children of God.
Yes.
But the power to not only become, but to begin to walk so that we can become mature sons. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So when we go into Romans chapter 8, we see it says that those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The huios. Did I say it right?
Yeah.
The huios. The mature sons of God. Hallelujah. You know, it's important. It is important for us. You know, the Word of God. I'm going back to the dream. Or I should say I'm going back to the Word of God. Because the dream was just really illustrating the Word of God. What Jesus said. You know, sometimes we read it and we go over. But you know, to me it takes importance if he comes and God begins to speak by his Spirit. This is what we need to do. So, we're to love God. Right? Now, Jesus says that if you love me, we are to keep his commandments.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so if we were to love God, we need to obey God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because following his Spirit, you know, and when we look into the tabernacle, we see that this brazen altar is representative of salvation. And this brazen laver is a symbolic or representative of baptism. And we know that baptism is really a plurality of three. Water, Spirit, baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the baptism into Christ. It's one thing to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it's another thing to obey the Spirit of God. Yeah. Hallelujah. Because really the growth of the church is at this point of when they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that we walk in obedience to that Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we say amen?
Amen.
It's important for us. How can I love God if I don't obey Him? Huh? Remember what I said? It says we're to obey His commandments. Well, His commandments come to us not only through His Word, but by His Spirit. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Huh? Hallelujah. Some churches don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. They believe in the Word. They receive a certain amount of life. But I'm telling you that if we look at the brazen laver, in order for us to progress on into God, we must be filled with this Spirit or receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit for His Holy Spirit to lead us into Christ. Can we say amen to that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm talking about the love of God. Remember, Jesus says the greatest commandment is you're to love the Lord
your God,
yes, with all your heart. Isn't that true?
Yes.
All right, one amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right, let's look at this thought here, brethren. Loving God with all of our heart and with all of our soul. All right, so if I'm to love God with all my soul, I need to understand, what is my soul? Well, we're a three-part being, body, soul, and spirit. And our soul comprises of the mind, the will, the desires, and the emotions. Now, it's an interesting thing because God says, talking about our heart, our heart is really at the center of our soul. Huh? Our heart is at the center of our soul, and it is the place that the decisions that we do comes out of our heart, but we're affected by those things that comprises our soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, we have problems when we have blockages in our lives. Blockages in the areas of our soul. You know, some of us, you know, let me go back to here. You see, the mind is on top.
Yeah.
And it says that the mind is the entrance to the soul. It's the place to where you have that authority that brings things into alignment. But some of us, our emotions rule over us. And the emotions is a place that can bring deception to us. Huh? I mean, let me ask anybody here. Is there anybody in this room that doesn't love God? All right, well, look around, everybody. Anybody see any hands up? Are you looking around? Look around, everybody. Look around. Look around. Just look around. It's not bad to turn around and look behind you. God, nobody here would say that they don't love. You love God. But, see, God wants us to understand certain principles of how we can truly love God. Huh? Now, remember, the commandment is we're to love God with all of our heart. Huh? But the Bible also says that the heart is what?
Desperately wicked.
For out of the heart comes all sorts of darkness and defilement. Huh? Can any of us relate to that heart? Huh? Am I the only one to raise my hand? All right. So we can have the blood of Jesus Christ, but we can also realize that we're having to reject that heart that is desperately wicked. We can also, the Bible also says that there is an evil heart of unbelief. Hallelujah. Do you think that we can love God with all of our hearts if we have unbelief in ourselves? I would say that's a blockage, wouldn't you? We need to break the hold that the enemy would have over our soul that would stop us from loving God. Hallelujah. So it says, you know, that we're to love God with all of our heart. That heart is the decision-making factor. It's affected by the soul, but it's the heart. Huh? It says, with the heart man believes unto righteousness. Huh? God had to come through. Look at the day of your salvation. I think so. If we really got into the Spirit, what happened the day we were saved? Yeah, phenomenal. You know, we talk about splitting of the atom and all of a sudden energy explodes. What do you think it was like in the Spirit when you became born again?
Amen.
Huh? It says that all heaven rejoices when even one sinner repenteth. So that day of your salvation when you repented, huh?
Amen.
That all heaven burst forth, Patty.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Can you imagine if heaven burst forth, what it was like in hell? Do you think that there was an alarm that sounded off when one of the captives were let loose or got set free? What happened in the concentration camps of Germany if someone escaped the German concentration camps? All of a sudden, all the lights lit up, the sirens start going, and all the people going out. We got to get them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Come on, brethren.
Amen.
Hallelujah. How much does God love us that He saves us and He redeems us? He says, what does it say, Brother Jojoki? It says, God who has brought us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. There's a scripture verse, I think, is it Ephesians?
Colossians.
What does it say?
Translated
us from the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of His dear Son. Hallelujah. You know, I find that when the reality of what He's done to me, I just need to love Him more.
Yeah.
Huh? I need to love Him more. Now, we are all facing problems in our lives. Isn't that true? Anybody here have no problems? All right, look around again, everybody. Look around. Nobody's raising their hands, right? We all have problems. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We all have problems. We have to deal with things that are familiar in our lives, right, Brother Jojoki? We have to deal with things that though we were set free from the power of sin, we were brought into God's kingdom. Now we have to get the kingdom of darkness out of our souls.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hallelujah. Sort of an interesting thing. God takes us out in order for us to begin to do the fight and the battle. Huh? Doesn't the Bible say that the kingdom of God suffereth violence? And what? The violent take it by force.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
I have yet to ever see someone overcome just by osmosis. Oh, praise the Lord, I'm saved. I'm happy-go-lucky and I'm on my way to sonship. No. There is something that you have to contend for. You have to fight against the principalities and the powers of darkness. Paul says of it in books of in chapter 6 of Ephesians. It says, brethren, what does it say? It says, put on ye the whole armor of God, that you may stand in the evil day, doing all to stand. Amen?
Amen. George, it's heard today that soldiers are made in the battle, or something like that.
Soldiers are made in the battle. That's very true, Brother George. They start out in boot camp, and they sort of treat them rough, simply because they got to harden them up for the battle. Hallelujah. I was thinking of the scripture verse. It says that if you would faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Now, isn't that interesting? Jesus says we're to love Him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Huh? All of our strength. There's a place. It says, let the weak say I am strong. Do you feel you have a little strength? Begin to believe that you have the strength to overcome.
Hallelujah.
All things are possible to those who believe. Hallelujah. Even in this meeting here, the ability for me to stand up here is the ability also of the faith that you have to receive the Word of God. Some of my brethren that minister the Word of God know it's much easier to minister the Word of God when the whole place is charged with faith. Isn't it so, Brother Bert?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. It's not in a man's ministry that does it. It's in the power of God and the desire in you to want something of God that draws it out of you. Hallelujah. We were in the city of Uyo. It was a year ago at the end of our trip. And the last 3 days of meetings were the best. God saved the best for last. Doesn't that sound familiar? Huh? Like the wine? We came into this place in Uyo. The place was filled with 350 people. They were all out. And the Spirit of God was just there. And it was not only, it was because there was something in the atmosphere. There was something in the people. And the Word of God just flowed. Hallelujah. So you have the ability to draw heaven down.
Amen.
By your faith, by your trust that God is going to flow.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, the devil does the devil really works overtime. But you know, I believe we should be a people that should outsmart the devil.
Amen.
You know, after so many years, you know, you go around the same mountain, and you realize that, you know, I got to get smarter than what the devil does. If you're smart enough, you'll learn the tactics of the enemy, and you learn how to fight against him.
Yeah,
hallelujah. Paul says it. He says, brethren, our fight is not with flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of wickedness in high places. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know why the devil uses high places? Because he comes against those that have fought the low places. The devil isn't going to send his higher authority if he's already got people bound up with demons. But if he knows that you are pushing against his kingdom, then he's sending the alarm. He's alerting his soldiers. But,
yeah.
Hallelujah,
yeah.
I don't want to be negative. Let's speak the positive.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world.
Amen.
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 The story of Elisha and his servant and all the soldiers. What was it? Was it the Syrian army that surrounded the city? And the servant woke up and he says, oh my goodness, look at this. They're all against us. And Elisha just prayed. Lord, open the eyes of your servant. See that greater are those that are with us than those that are against us. All of a sudden the servant's eyes were open and there was all of the heavenly host. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Glory to God.
Our God.
I think God wants to encourage us this morning.
Amen.
God wants to encourage us this morning.
Yeah. Amen.
God wants us to rise up higher. Do you realize that the devil just isn't out against you individually, but corporately?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. There was a word that we shared here, I think it was a year ago, that God brought a word that God said, teach my people to discern. To discern. Hallelujah. John says it in the Epistle of John. It says, try the spirits. Hallelujah. Has anybody got the diploma of their master's degree in heaven that you have completely discerning all spirits? All right, I don't see another hand up yet. Look around, everybody, again, please. All right, we're still learning, aren't we?
Amen.
Huh? We're still learning. But I tell you what, I do not want to stay in a place that I am without discernment.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But I know something, brethren, that if I love God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind and with all my strength, I can come into a place where I'm not going to be deceived.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Isn't that true?
Yeah.
It says that in the end time, in the book of Matthew, it says that if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. That talks that God has a people that will not be deceived.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Because God also gave a promise for the people of God that those days will be shortened. Otherwise, no flesh will be saved. We're living in that time, brethren. We're living in that time where we as the people of God need to come to know Christ.
Yeah.
Know Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I believe a key of it is, Brother Bert was ministering yesterday morning, and at the end he was talking about 100%. 100%.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Any of you here yet 100%? Okay, I guess everybody look around again. I see we're sort of in the same boat again. We're still having to get up higher. Right?
Amen.
We have to get up higher. Hallelujah. The word says in Isaiah, it says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." Let's look at that. You know, I was looking at the word when we read that great commandment that we're to love God with all of our heart. Huh? Get our heart clean. Get our heart pure. But he says also our mind. Huh? Any of you have your mind totally 100% on the Spirit of God 24/7? Okay, look again, everybody. Praise the Lord. We're still all in the same boat together, right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I was reading in Psalms. There are certain things that stay with me. And maybe it's because I'm saying, God, I need you to work within my life. I believe it's Psalm 15 and Psalm 24. I could have it off by one. But one says, "Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? And who shall dwell," what is it? 15, "in thy holy hill?" Huh? "He who has" what? Alright, "he that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his
heart."
Now, my own being can't speak truth in my heart. I need Jesus Christ to speak truth in my heart. I need the Holy Spirit to come and to speak to me. And you know, I have found out that in the course of my walk with the Lord, that there are times where I've been very open to God, and God comes to me very plain and says, "George, what you're doing is wrong." Hallelujah. I don't want to ever be in a place where I'm unreachable from God. Hallelujah. I don't know if I had told this story, but it comes to me. I might have shared it recently. But I was in a meeting in Dubuque. I don't know, maybe, well, it was a long time ago. It was when we used to have some conferences in Dubuque in December. Mark, you might have still... I think you were just living down... 99, okay. And there happened to be a brother, Brother Sam Ajodi, was up ministering. I remember that. And I remember him ministering about David and Bathsheba. And, you know, he was up ministering, and then he talked about Nathan pointing the finger and says, "Thou art that man." Huh? When he came, and David thought he was right. Well, you know what God did to me during that meeting? God came to me and says, "You are the man." And do you know what he said to me? It was, it happened to do with something with my father. A few weeks earlier, Brother Wade was there. I remember I asked you, Wade. My father, we live in a three-story house. My father probably, I don't know, he was probably in his 70s. And my father, God bless him, he's passed away a long time ago. But he was a strong German, strong-willed, you know. And he had a determination in his mind that he wanted to move this king-size mattress from the second floor to the third floor. The problem was, it was a logistic problem, I guess you would say. The thing was too big for the doorway inside the house. If people had never been to my house, there's a door that goes up, and it's a very steep step. And my father wanted it to go up that stairway. And I looked at it, and I looked at the thing, and I go, "God, it's not going to work. It's not going to work." I go, "We're going to have to take it downstairs." Go out. Even though it was a lot more work, I knew it just wasn't going to fit. But my father was determined it was going to fit. Hallelujah. I didn't say anything out loud to my father. But inside my heart, I was saying things. I was grumbling. I was complaining. In my heart, I'm thinking, "He's not listening to me. He's not listening to me." And so I got real quiet. And so guess what? He didn't listen to me. We pushed this mattress. And the more we tried to push it through the door, the more we had to bend it. The more I had to bend it. And we got it through finally. We got it up to the third floor. But as we were putting it in, I could feel this. You know how mattresses have a strong wire around the outside? I could feel this. It went in by about 4 or 5 inches. I go, oh no. I go, it was just what I thought. Just what I thought. And you know, I didn't say much to my dad that day. You know, I just thought I was going to overcome. And I went about my business until that meeting a few weeks later. And the Spirit of God smote me. And He said, your attitude is not right. And you know, brethren, the Spirit of God had come down to me. All I could do was thinking, when is this meeting going to go over? I need to go up and talk to my father. It was an evening meeting. I think the meeting got over somewhere around 10. In fact, you remember it, Sue? I said, here's, Sue, you're going to have to get a ride. I got to go up and talk to my father. Amen. Hallelujah. I get up to the house. My father, he's in his 70s, and he's in his bed. He had his reading light on. He's reading his newspaper. And I came in. I said, Dad, I go, wow. Dad, I need to talk to you. He goes, yeah, what is it, George? What brings you up here? I go, well, I said, Dad, I need to ask your forgiveness. He goes, well, what for? He goes, well, I said, you remember a few weeks back about that mattress incident? I go, he goes, yeah. I go, well, I was upset. He goes, well, I thought you were acting a little funny. Clue that it was apparent. It was apparent to him, but he didn't know. But the Spirit of God knew. And I said, well, Dad, I had disagreed with you, but I also was upset inside myself. And so I come to you today and I ask for your forgiveness. Now, my father at that point was not saved in his life. And, you know, I don't know. God is so, so very good. Because, you know, God not only, you know, He asks you to do something, but then He pours out His goodness so much, you even feel more the need to repent. And my father said, well, George, he goes, I forgive you. He goes, you know, I want to tell you, he goes, of all my children, he goes, you're the least I have to worry about. Now I'm feeling even lower, you know. You know, he being so kind to me, and I'm realizing that in my heart that I was moving unrighteously. But I got a release that night. And it was a great learning thing for me. You know, Jesus said, guard your heart. What? With all diligence. For out of it comes the issues of life. Or the issues of death. You know? The Bible says, whatever spirit we submit ourselves to, that spirit we become servant to obey. Hallelujah. Now, I'm sharing this, a principle for as much for me as for all of us here today, is how do we overcome that we can love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength? We have to get rid of the things that is the darkness in our heart, the darkness in our soul, so we can love God, that we can be quick to obey His Spirit. Hallelujah. The Word of God teaches us that Jesus, as He grew, it says He grew in wisdom and in stature daily. Hallelujah. How many of us would like to have that testimony? Yeah. Huh? Yeah. Okay, we got some hands, Rose. Amen. All right, there's a few. I saw one half rise. Huh? So that means you're only going to get half wisdom. Raise your hands if you want to grow in wisdom and stature daily. Okay. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want that. I want to overcome. I want to overcome the sins that so easily beset me. Hallelujah. Well, that's another question. How many still have things that easily beset us? Huh? All it takes at times, huh? You ever find out, you think you're going along, oh, I'm really an overcomer, and all it takes is for the devil to push one certain button. Hallelujah. Sometimes it might be an individual that pushes that button. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it's all designed for God to teach us how to be overcomers. Hallelujah. Because if there's something, and you, oh God help us. I thought I overcame anger until a dog taught me that lesson. Oh, yeah. You remember when we were living on the farm? We had a dog that was crazy. Someone gave us this dog, and I'm not a big dog lover besides, but they gave us this dog. We had a wonderful dog on the farm, obedient dog. I really like that dog. He was sort of like Benny was to you, Andy. You know, I really like that dog, but he got run over, and someone thought they were going to give us a good present, and they gave us this dog. And this dog must have been ingrown or something, but it was wild. I mean, it was wild. You couldn't. Oh yeah, people would drive up, they'd honk the horn, you'd have to chain the dog up because the dog jumped on everybody. What was it? What was the dog's name?
Goldie.
Goldie, yeah, Goldie. There was a golden opportunity for God to reveal something inside of me. This dog, he would jump on everybody. Well, our kids were little. We'd have it chained up and we'd say, go feed the dog. Oh, no, not me. Nobody wanted to feed the dog. And they'd walk over and the dog would be chained and they would just put it right next to it because if they got in, the dog would jump all over it. Well, someone told me one time, well, the way that you teach a dog not to jump on you, you just give it a knee, you know. If it jumps up, give it a knee, you know. And, oh, God help me. So I thought I'd put it to practice. Goldie was loose one day outside. Oh, yeah, my mom and dad would honk the horn. Hook that dog up. Well, one day he's out, and I'm going, all right, I'm going to need him. He got back up. And one time, all of a sudden, I lost it. I mean, just whack, you stupid dog. And all of a sudden, I was horrified. What came out of me? I thought I had overcome anger. I go, God, I was so embarrassed. You know how embarrassed it was? I didn't tell that story for 15 years. No, truthfully, I was embarrassed to tell anybody. I had such an anger inside of me. I thought I had overcome. And yet, this thing, it brought, that God started to show me, you need to overcome certain things in your life. They were a blockage. It was something in my emotions that I have to deal with. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Did you have to repent to the dog?
Huh? No, I didn't repent to the dog. He was stupid. Well, no, I did. Actually, you know, I probably did, to tell you the truth. I finally had to lay the dog down. And actually, it was a very difficult day when I had to take the dog to the vet. And being you're out in the country, you just don't take it to somebody and just give it to them. Dr. Beck comes out and goes, okay. He goes, well, the dog was so uncontrollable, we had to put him to sleep. But I had him in the back of my truck, and they came over and they shot him, and I'm driving back, and I had to watch in my mirror as the dog died. You don't think I felt bad about it? I did. You know, then I went out and buried the dog. It's middle of winter. We had to break through about 3 or 4 inches of a frost. Yeah. Yeah, Goldie. But, you know, I don't know. The Bible says all things work together for good if we can learn it. Brethren, every circumstance, if we can learn it, we can grow.
Oh, yeah,
huh?
Amen.
We can grow. Hallelujah. Now, these are some of my circumstances. Only God knows the circumstances in your life, what God's working to knock at the door of your heart. Because, see, if I don't allow God to deal with certain things in my life, my emotions or my heart, boy, oh, desires. That's an area that can stop the flow of God from really us loving God. Huh? Isn't that true?
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Everybody's really quiet now.
Amen.
Has anybody overcome their desires yet? Well, everybody can look around again. We're all in the same boat. We're having to overcome our desires. Will, huh? How many of us here have strong wills? You know, that's good and bad, you know. Huh? Jesus had a strong will. He said, nevertheless, he wanted the will of the Father. He was able to go through Gethsemane.
Not my will, but
Huh? He was able to stand praying. He was able to take the cup. You know, God doesn't want to kill your will. He just wants to change your will. And isn't that true? Because when we look at the teachings on the soul, when we look into Ezekiel and we see that the will is representative of an ox. And I think Brother Chijoki talked on it when he says that the change in Revelation 4, that the ox became a calf. Willing and submissive to the Spirit of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Now our mind is something that we need to all learn how to keep our mind stayed on God. Huh? Isn't that true? Huh? How many of us have a battle in our minds? Okay. So most people raise their hands. Well, let me put it this way. Does anybody not have a battle with their mind? Okay. You don't have to look around. Nobody raise their hand. Okay. So it's an area that we have to follow in order for us to get that life. Amen? To love God. Do you know, I don't know how to explain it, but when I find, we sing a song, when I find that I reach your heart, how is it? And my will becomes enthroned in your love. What is the name of that song? When I look into your holiness, when I gaze upon your loveliness, when all things of this world around me become shadow in the light of you. Huh? When I found the joy of reaching your heart. How many of you have touched it? Come on, I think most of you people that I know have walked with the Lord, that you've touched. What would you give for that heart to keep going in that place? Huh? In the moment when you're in the presence of the living God, and God is coming in and He's touching you and you're touching Him, and you feel so free, so set free from all encumbrances and hindrances. Hallelujah. That's what I want. That's what we can get if we can love God. Hallelujah. That we can put into practice, not only loving God here. Hallelujah. Do you know sometimes why we have conferences? It's so that we can repent. Yeah. It's because we can repent. That's the whole purpose God gathers us together. Huh? He wants change in our lives. He wants the ability that we might be set free. Do you know God wants us to be set free more than we want to be set free? Huh? Do you ever think of that? Do you realize why we're not set free is because we hold the key. We hold the key to whether we want to be set free or not. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said, brethren, I want to touch the heart of God. I want the heart of God to touch me. I want to be changed. Hallelujah. So, we see a progression with God. We see that first, we must love God. You know, we're going to touch the second part. But the first comes first. Huh? God says these two aren't equal. He says one is greater than the other. But the second is almost as great. He says, it's like unto this, you shall what? Love your neighbor as yourself. And I believe God is wanting to touch us today in that relationship also. Huh? We need to look upon one another that we've been made in the image of God. Hallelujah. You know, I believe that there are things that God wants to restore in your heart towards other individuals. But let's first look at what is the closest individual to those that are adults. But your spouse, right? Huh? Does anybody here have a marriage that has no conflict whatsoever? That is as lovey-dovey and starry-eyed filled and no little rustling around the edges as the day you were married? Okay, everybody look around the room. We're all in the same boat, right? Huh? Huh? But, let me ask this question. To those who are married, do you love your spouse? Amen. Raise your hands.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
All right. Praise the Lord. You know what we need to do? We need to remember that we love one another. Huh? Because in that, it says love covers a multitude of sins. You know one of the problems that we face? We have an adversary called the devil. We have an adversary called Diablos. We have an adversary called Slewfoot. There you go. Thank you. I was looking for that. The accuser of the brethren. Oh boy. How many of you have mastered that you know the accuser of brethren? That you will never be deceived by him. Okay, nobody's raising their hands again. So we're all learning something, aren't we? I believe we need to repent. I believe we need to repent of our own attitude and demeanor, because God wants to work something within our lives and in our homes. Do you know when our homes are not in order that then it creates problems in the church? Huh? You know, if I come into a meeting and I'm grumpy, do you think that's going to lift everybody up? Did everybody hear me there just now? Praise the Lord. You know, we need to come into a place. You know, a brother said to me one time, it's not wrong to be wrong, it's wrong to stay wrong. And you know, it really is true. You know, sometimes we get beat up by the devil, and this is the place where we need to come, you know. You know, most people run away then when they have problems. And they should be running into the church and not running out of it. Why? Because this is the hospital of God. Huh? Yeah, I mean, if you break your leg, where are you going to go? Well, you should pray. But I mean, you know, a hospital is designed to make people well. They put your arm in a cast. In the spiritual realm, let us look at the church as a place where a hospital, not only for physical healing, but spiritual healing, spiritual deliverance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, as we stand up here, how long have we been meeting here? Since 83, Brother Gordon? 85? 30 years? 30 some years? Just think of the amount of deliverance that has been worked in this place. People that have come and knelt before the altar of God. Huh? The deliverance. Man, we saw deliverance. We saw the power. We saw the devil working and bam! And the Spirit of God comes and smites the enemy. Hallelujah. Do you remember that one man, that young man, I won't say what country he was from. He got hit by the Spirit and he laid like a board. His body just laid just like a board over there. I mean, God delivered him. Amen. Hallelujah. I know I've gotten touched at this altar. As I've gotten up and say, God, I need you to touch me. Huh? You know, there is a place and an atmosphere for the conference that God, the whole purpose of God coming is He wants to deliver us. He wants to heal us. Hallelujah. He wants to set us free from any of our bondages. You know, and we all come from different situations and different circumstances. Different things attacking us. That's why we may not have maybe the exact same deliverance that we all need, but we're all facing sin. We're all having to deal with the Adamic nature. We're all having to deal with those things that want to keep us earthbound, causing us not to fulfill that calling and election in our lives. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. God wants to tabernacle inside of us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. He wants to tabernacle inside of us. Hallelujah. So you have to get out not only the blockages that separate you from God, but separate you from your brethren. Hallelujah. Because, you know, as I get closer to God, I get closer to my brethren. We drew this little circle in Dubuque. Let me draw it again because it's coming to me. Brother Charlie Williams. I think it was like 87, 88. What was it, Brother Mark, Brother Bert? You were in Africa with Charlie Williams, weren't you? Remember, that was around, what was it? 1989. And I came across this little video of Brother Charlie Williams teaching in Nigeria. Were you there when he did it? Oh, was it in Port Harcourt? Well, he drew this. He wanted to show a wheel. And he drew a wheel. And he says the wheel is sort of like the hub of the wheel is God. All right, so there's God right in the middle. And he says that the people of God, they are on all different places. Go here. Let's go there. You know, when we talk about the Church of God, the church of God, you know, even in a local fellowship, the fellowship comprises, they're all born again, but they're all in different places with God. Some are newborn believers. Some are those that have been restricted very much because of whatever encumbrances of life, and there's others that are having a closer walk with God. Now, we don't compare ourselves among ourselves. It's not wise to do that. Oh, I'm better than you are. Never want to do that. Huh? I'm glad I'm not like that fellow over there. You think that could be a problem? You know, God convicted me one time as a young Christian. I was a couple of years in the Lord, you know. And I thought I was really, I just love God, you know. But one day I was looking over at this person. And I was thinking, oh God, you know, I'm thinking, glad I'm not like that person there. Whew. Boy, God just put me right on my spot. He says, what are you thinking that way? Oh God, forgive me. Who am I sitting here? I was like that person at one time. Huh? The best way I could love God, or love you, my brethren, is to get closer to God. Because as Brother Charlie Williams, it was really quite a teaching. Wasn't it, Susie? Remember when we have it? I think we still got it if we can dig into our archives. But he says that as each one of us grow closer to God. How? By loving God with all of our heart. Why do you think God said, first, love God with all your heart? Huh? How many of us wait for other people to overcome, then we will overcome. Isn't that the tendency? Isn't it? Sometimes? You know, my problems would be solved if that person just gets right. Boy, it's really quiet in here now. It's a real quiet. Huh? You're right. You know, think of it in any situation, in any circumstance. It's a wrong mentality to have. You know, David said something, I think in Psalms, he says, against thee and thee only have I sinned, O God. Hallelujah. I'm my brother's keeper to pray for him, to love him, but I cannot walk in his shoes. Here's another thought. Look in Galatians, I believe it's chapter 5 or 6. It says that we're to carry one another's burdens, but at the same time, Paul says, but every man must carry his own burden. Did you ever think of that? It's sort of like a dichotomy. Well, why do you say one and not say the other? How does the two fit? Well, the two fits is I have to keep my heart clean. Hallelujah. That's my responsibility, Joanne. I have to keep my heart clean, George. That if I keep my heart clean, if someone has something against me and I know it and I try to rectify it and it doesn't get completely solved, as long as my heart's clean, then I have to give that individual to the Lord, for to let the Lord speak to him. Huh? Do you follow with what I'm saying? I'm my brother's keeper to pray for him, to love him, huh? And to want the best for him. Amen. Hallelujah. There's a good safeguard right there. Is if you have, you know, God looks at us, do we have clean hands and a pure heart? It's what is that in Psalm 24? It was the other one that I was looking for. Could you look that up, Jim? You see, when you look at Psalm 15, and I believe it's 24, isn't it?
Yeah, 24.
Okay, and when you look at 24, they're saying the same thing. How many of us want to stand in God's holy hill? Huh? How many of us? I want to stand in the holy hill of God. All right, so when you look over there, what does it say?
It says, who may ascend?
Who may ascend into the
hill of the Lord?
Hill of the Lord.
Or who may stand in his holy place?
Or who may stand... Oh, listen, look at this, brethren. Who may stand in his holy place? When we look at the tabernacle, you have the outer court, holy place, and holiest of all. This is a place I want to be. I don't want to be an outer court Christian, just being born again, just having the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But I want to obey the Spirit, going into the holy place. And that's a whole other teaching in itself when we talk about the five wise and the five foolish virgins. But if I want to stand in the holy place, stand means that you're coming into a place of authority. There is a place that you are feeding upon Christ, that you are walking towards the mark, not to stay in the holy place, but to go on. Now it says there, and who shall stand in his holy place?
He who has clean hands,
he who has clean hands and a pure heart.
Not lifted up his soul
unto vanity. unto vanity?
Yes,
and are sworn deceitfully. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm just sharing what's coming to me, brethren. There was a couple years ago, the Lord gave me this dream. And in the dream, we were in a meeting like this, a conference. And the Spirit of God was moving. It was very wonderful. And we had a break in the meetings. And the restrooms were outside. Now, the meeting hall had to be like in a mall area because you were in this conference room and stepped out. But the last thing that was said was, be careful, because there will be individuals that will want to try to get what you have. All right? Now, what it means by that was not getting him in righteousness. And so I went into the restroom. There were some people there. And I went into the bathroom stall and closed the door. And all of a sudden, someone locked it from the outside. And as they locked it, I couldn't get out. But even worse than that, they started throwing excrement over the stall onto me. Excrement. Huh? You know what that is in Czech, right, Christina? Can you imagine? You can't get out, and it's being thrown upon you. Being thrown upon you. And as I'm there, I'm starting to get covered. And at one point, I reach down to the ground, and I take a little bit of dirt, and I try to throw it back. It was feeble. It was very feeble, you know? Did it once. Hallelujah. This went on for 3 days. But you know, I was instantly convicted when I threw it back. I thought, first, this is a feeble thing. You know, you don't fight fire with fire. Huh? 3 days I was in there, and I was covered head to foot with excrement. And all of a sudden, on the third day, this army comes and opens the door. And all I could tell you, it wasn't a natural army, it was a heavenly army. And the man comes with a silver pitcher in his hand. And the first thing I said to him was, just wash my hands. Wash my hands. That was a dream. You know, words can come against you. But don't retaliate. Huh? Bible says, don't pay evil for evil, but good for evil. And you know, and it taught me something in that dream when I had it a couple of years ago. Don't fight back. Don't, if somebody, even if it's unjustified or anything. You know, I thank God for some of my brethren. Brother Wade said to me, he said, George, you don't have to defend yourself against anything. God's your judge. If I know that I'm walking uprightly. But don't give back. Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There was another one. I'm just sharing things that come to me. I had this dream many, many years ago. And many years ago, we're having some difficulties in our fellowship, and there's warfare going on. That never happens here, though, does it? Huh? Anybody have a fellowship that you never have problems? Okay, look around again. Hallelujah. Well, this particular thing, there was an individual, there was a clash in the spirit. And there was warfare going on. And I remember the Lord gave me this dream. And in this dream, it was like we were out west. And there was a battle going on between the cowboys and the Indians. And there was flaming arrows being shot my way, you know. And I'm trying to dodge them and do everything like that. And all of a sudden, I remember I had these three little things in my pocket. And I thought, phew. And what they were little bitty baby snakes. And you know what? Quiet. But the next day, now this is all in a dream. Next day I'm walking and all of a sudden those baby snakes came back at me, but now they were bigger. Isn't God good how he gives object lessons?
Amen.
Come on, brethren. Amen. Huh? I'm not up here as one that's saying I've overcome, but I'm telling you there's certain lessons that we can learn in life. How we can defeat the devil. You never fight fire with fire. You never, if a brother is upset with you, don't get upset with him back. Amen. Begin to pray. Call upon the name of the Lord. Move in wisdom.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Move in the authority that God gives you. You stand before God. If you are walking uprightly before God, you know, if God before you, who can be against you? And who knows over a period of time how God will work? You know, I've seen sometimes where some people were upset with me 10, 15, 20 years. But I saw God's hand moved. As I moved in righteousness, God's hand came back. Sometimes it took 20 years. I saw it with unbelievers. I saw it with Christians. Hallelujah. You have to get to know God. You have to walk with God. Amen. Huh? In such a way that God is going to work in the midst of the situations. Will everything be the same? No, God is always changing. But God wants you to be changed.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the midst of the situation.
Amen.
Hallelujah. 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 God is wanting to touch each one of us here. I believe it. God's wanting to touch our homes. Anything that you have in your heart against anybody, now is the time to deal with it. Now is the time. Do not stay in the clutches of the devil. Huh? Take it from me. When I was a young Christian, I left a lot of conferences still bowed because I did not, as I needed to just respond to God. Hallelujah. But I'll tell you what, one time I responded, it was that same year, 1989, we were out in Turlock. Yeah. Hallelujah. You have to have a tenacity to want God. Because if you want God, you're going to get deliverance. Well, in this conference, God was dealing with me, speaking with me concerning a familiar spirit in my family. And the first meeting, it was going on, I will always remember it. We were coming to the close of the first meeting, and I could sense God, you know, God spoke to me earlier that week. There was something I needed to deal with my life. It had to do with a spirit of sexuality. I'm not afraid to admit it. but I'm back there, and I say, God, I want you. I want you more than that. Huh? And I also found, I'll just add this before I share that part. You know, I used to go to God. God, why am I still having troubles with it? God says, because you want it more than you hate it. I go, oh, that's it. I got to hate it more than I want it. So in this meeting, I'm saying, God, I need the deliverance now. I will not leave this place. It was the start of the meeting. And I'm in the back and a brother says, Brother George, would you close the meeting in prayer? Anybody call upon you to pray and you're feeling so huh? Opposite? Well, I'm in the back of that meeting and all the chairs were there. All I knew was, God, there's no way I can pray. I need the deliverance now. I couldn't even see the aisle, brethren. All I did was just started pushing all the chairs. You know, we were on a side where there wasn't that many people. You remember that, Sue? I was back, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, probably back right behind the row behind Bob and Carol. And all I could think was, I need it now. And I was like a wild man. You remember that, Brother Bert? Brother DeCia was up ministering, and Brother Bert, I said, I need prayer. I ran up to the altar. I knelt down. And do you know what God did? God did something I didn't understand, but it came through the prophetic voice. I don't want to go through all the details because it's something intimate in my family, but it was a familiar spirit. And it was something that came down through the family line that was inflicted upon me since I was a small child. Now, I didn't understand it even as I'm up there kneeling. I'm hearing the prophetic word speaking to the apostolic minister that was up there. And they began to pray for me. Bam! The thing broke. The thing broke. Hallelujah. I got delivered.
Amen.
I got delivered.
Amen.
And I believe the deliverance was for my family as well.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I remember the brother getting up and ministering to me after. He says, you know, God's given you a victory today, but now you got to fight the thing. You got to fight it. You got to close the doors. In fact, that whole meeting, if you ever get an opportunity, listen to Turlock 1989. It's talking about closing the back doors of your soul.
Yeah. Yeah.
The reason why a lot of us don't have the victory, we don't close the back doors. We may close the front doors, but we don't close the back doors. Hallelujah. And the other thing I want to share with you, it comes to me right now. You know how we close the back doors to the devil? You know how we close the doors of the devil? We open up to God.
Yeah.
You know, it's a very simple thing. I think it has been ministered here over the years, but when we open ourselves up to God, we automatically close the doors to the devil. When we open ourselves up to the doors of the devil, we close the doors to God. It's the same principle again. Whatever spirit you submit yourself to, you have a will. God made man a free will agent that you can decide. I do not want to submit to this any longer. Hallelujah. If you desire it, God will set you free. Hallelujah. No matter what it is. If you got a problem with alcohol, if you got a problem with drugs, if you have a problem keeping your mind stayed upon God, if you have a problem with sexuality, if you have a problem always finding you can't close your mouth, whatever it may be. Hallelujah. God is here to deliver. Don't leave God. You know, a lot of you have invested time and money to come here. Brethren from Nebraska has invested cleaning and moving and preparing this place. What for? But for us to meet God and for us to submit to God in order to God to do what He wants to do to set us all free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So remember this, brethren, in closing. Two great principles. Play the game well. Because if you do, you're going to have total success in your life. You'll have deliverance. But don't allow, please, don't allow the devil to deceive you and say, well, this isn't the time.
No.
It's time now to deal with the things that bind you, that hinder you. For who's to say if we will have that time together or that you may have that time together? Hallelujah.
I'm hearing Mavis when she said, it is the last time.
It is the last time. Amen.
Patty.
Amen. God bless you. I gave you a scripture verse.
You gave us the scripture verse for the first principle
of Matthew 22. Oh, it's in Matthew 22. Didn't I read that part? You mean I stopped at just the first one?
Yeah, you taught us it.
All right, well, I taught it, but let's read it. Well, I read it in the dream. We're to love our neighbor as ourselves.
Amen?
Mark 12 says it. It says, and the scribe said unto him, well, all right, let's see. No, we want to go up and where Jesus says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. That's Mark verse 31, and the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. So it's in Mark 12, it's in Luke 10, and I believe it's in Matthew 22. So praise the Lord. Thank you for adding that. Praise God.